That was like day two of it. Like, your brother brought up getting a lawyer, and she immediately escalates to hitman.
Welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm old man Vin, here in beautiful downtown Athens, Georgia. I'll be switching the bits, driving, piloting, just moving things around, trying to keep it from crashing. Joined every week by the man up north, one Jordan Swang. He has a mysterious switch in his house. We don't know where it leads to, but maybe it goes all the way across the pond where one Pedro Mateus is staying up late, past his bedtime, thinking about Dark Souls, probably.
I mean, Pedro, well, the Shadow of the Archery is coming out in June, so...
like, anytime that, like, you're just chilling out, I assume at, like, some point you just start dodge rolling in your head.
Is Pedro, like, the Wolverine meme where he just, like, is staring at the photo of just, like, a copy of Dark Souls?
I mean, I have the Dark Souls 2 collector's edition statuette thingy, so I can just, you know, cuddle that. And then Nori gives me the weird look, and they carries on.
Well, are you excited about the Dark Souls? You played Elden Ring, didn't you?
Yes.
Or are you going to like get into, because, you know, I saw some of the screenshots here. I posted that in Discord.
Yeah. I am very much, that's the Shadow of the Earth Tree, like, puppet lion thingy. I look forward to it. I have 300 hours in Elden Ring, and I have a character that's just about the right level to get into the content that DLC supposedly brings, so I...
Is it gonna be like traditional FromSoft, where, like, have fun finding where the DLC is?
No, they said right from the get-go where to, where to go and what
the requirements. That kind of takes the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Right, like a little bit.
I paid $40-$50 for this DLC, but now you gotta go find the shit.
For, like, Dark Souls 1, they had to tell people, because there's no way in fucking hell that you could have figured out, like, the 7 steps leading up to Manus grabbing you and bringing you into the past.
I mean, what did from software, like, look at frog fractions and, like, we'll have some of that.
No, you just need to, like, crouch beside this wall, and then the hurricane will come and take you to the secret area. Right. You just needed to call Nintendo Power, even though it's not on the Switch.
Even when you think about that, I watched Maximilian Dude go through his first playthrough of
the cooler Pedro
Zelda on NES, and there's some legitimate bullshit in that game that only an 8-year-old with infinite time would have stumbled across, given enough typewriters.
Right, and again, it's all to funnel you to, like, the Nintendo helpline or to buy a Nintendo Power subscription, because straight up they would tell you what to do with that.
Mm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I smell like elite coconut-iss.
Do you?
Gesundheit.
Coconut-iss.
Did you, like, oil and lather your body?
I normalized it. It was bugging me before the show. Go home, got a shower, and I'm like, oh, cool, right. I bought that white flavored whatever head lotion, the conditioner. And I'm like, I bet that's going to be coconut. Yeah, that's coconut. All right, let's try that. That's really coconut.
Very coconut-y, like
almost just coconut oil.
It should have just said cripplingly coconut. I'm like, oh man, like, this stuff's giving me a headache.
So that explains the pina colada shirt.
Yes. Very, very tropical. Maybe there's some part in, like, my little lizard brain that was like, yes, but on the festive shirt. That way, you know, when they find the corpse, when you die of coconut poisoning.
dying of coconut poisoning is just getting smashed in the head with a coconut repeatedly.
Dude, I forgot how bad it was, and when I got up, go get something to drink, you know, go hit the washer, and I walked back in, and I was like, oh, right, oh, it hasn't left here. I shut the door and went to the other bathroom. That's my story. Oh, I am working on the Elite Desk. Really cool piece of kit. Maybe by the end of next week, we'll have that done. I got all the stuff recorded for it, and I'm sticking together. I'm doing the first rough cut. Fun times. If you're looking for a little powerful piece of kit to do everything but 3D gaming on, I'm going to say, maybe look at Elite Desk 705.
because they're still really cheap. And when they're gone, those things are going to be gone. Jordan, anything exciting happened to you this week?
Well, I stuck my head into the unknown, and by the unknown, I mean the ceiling in my gym.
Nice.
This
is why I like you. You don't have a problem dropping the occasional humble brag.
Yeah, I did myself a pull-up, and I pulled myself into the ceiling head first. And then I'm an adult with a job who dresses and clothes himself and somehow pays his mortgage. So
can you do a one-arm pull-up?
No.
All right.
I'm not there yet. I'm trying to break 3 sets of 5 pull-ups in a row.
Okay.
That's my goal. I can pretty reliably do 3x4, but 3x5 adding that last rep is a little tricky.
Yeah, like in this body configuration, pull-ups, I'm just like, do I get bored?
Mm.
Yeah. Do you do them like front end, or do you do the?
Well, so I was doing them like pronated grip, but the bar I got is like one of the ones that has like the multi grips. Mm-hmm. So now, actually, I was doing like underhanded for a while, but now I can do neutral grip.
That's all right. Gonna be nice. Yeah, I was fascinated with how easy it became to do pull-up. I'm like, I'd be able to pull up like this, But the reason I bring that up, if we gave the horse opposable hooves, do you think there's a chance it too could smash its head into the ceiling?
No, I don't think it will ever leave the floor. It's just not motivated enough to do anything except ooze. It's the Steam Linux Update of the Week. You know, the horse might die, and then what will happen to it? We don't know. But
the horse came back the very next day. But
man, that is some ace Canadian content, man. The cat came back.
Yeah, but it's got a much more Pet Cemetery overtones to it this time.
Yeah, I mean, you got to listen to the macabre version of it. But yeah, so the question came up in the Steam forums. What happens when I die, Gabe? Do I get to like ascend to heaven and nestle myself in between your heavenly areolas? What happens to my library of Steam games when I, in fact, croak? Can I will them to a next of kin, relative, friend, etc.? And we got an answer. The answer is no. You cannot. Once those games are linked to your account under your name, and Valve provides no method of ownership transfer. Their terms of services do say that they may make it, if they give you explicit permission to do that. You may be able to, if you show up to Bellevue with a lawyer, you might be able to get specific written permission in your case to will your games to one of your next of kin.
No, Frank. And you might. No, you can't get his number. Shut up.
There are some other practical ways you could go about this as well. You could give someone a drive with all of your games installed on them. That is probably the most legally grounded way to do it because, you know, it's the actual thing where it's installed. You could give them your password and 2FA, although that does technically violate the Steam TOS. And if Valve did find out, then I guess technically they could shut your account down. I don't necessarily know why they would, but they could. They'd be well within your rights.
You know, I was gonna play the time tilted gog, but like bam, right there.
Welcome to the other side of not owning anything. Turns out, you got to pay for a license every single time. What happens with family sharing?
Yeah, this is also Valve, you know, the company that basically didn't do anything against the gambling on CSGO skins until that broke into mainstream media, and then they had to do something about it. And they haven't really, because part of the non-transferability of the Steam accounts is to crack down on account resellers, but they haven't. So as long as you don't draw attention to yourself, you could probably keep playing on grandpa's account for as long as you like. Unless it becomes a thing, well, it is kind of becoming a thing because it's made it into the mainstream media, so Valve might actually put something in place now. God damn it.
I don't know, man. My initial thought was like, you know, how long can a Steam account remain inactive? Like before something takes, there has to be some type of mechanism in place for Steam to go, oh, okay, we need to prune inactive. And then again, it is Valve. Maybe it doesn't. I mean, what do you think that counter would be?
I don't know. Cause like Steam has been around for almost 20 years now. So like, but that's like not that long amount of time if you think about it. It seems it is a long amount of time.
I mean, but I don't think we've ever heard of anybody saying, oh, my 19-year-old or 15-year-old account that I've never logged into got erased.
I think in most cases, people would just forget that they have the original account and will just, quite possibly.
And I'm sure a lot of you have friends that, you know, somebody that you used to play games with, you know, 12, 13 years ago and haven't logged in.
I have a friend who just opens up a new account every time he forgets his password. And so he has like 50 billion accounts.
Oh, man. handing down the account. So what do you need for that? You're going to need to give somebody your username and password and more than likely two-factor authentication. So that mobile app that you have set up. And most importantly, the password to the encrypted hard drive where you have all of this information in the first place that you forgot to write down on a piece of paper. Because they're like, oh, yes, here, you have all this stuff. It's on the hard drive.
It's inside the computer.
Right. And you bring up family sharing. All right. Maybe that should be an option. You just click it on and, you know, hope for the best and hope those games don't disappear. But I can only imagine, like, the unholy worm of cans that you're going to open up if you ever let people shift games from different accounts, even if it's for completely free, right?
Oh, yeah, no. The major AAA publishers like your EAs and your Ubisofts and the rest of them, they would throw the peak.
They would make you have to go through two launchers.
They would throw such a big fit if Valve were allowing people to transfer ownership of the licenses of their games. No, we've seen what Valve does with the overly litigious companies, and it running off to Nintendo is like, is this okay?
even with family sharing, you have to imagine that Valve had to throw some weight around. You know, you come to EA or Ubisoft and you're like, hey, we're going to have a thing where people, if they have it, and they're like, nah, and they're like, well, get the fuck off our store.
What are you going to do? Open your own store? Look how well that went for you last time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
with Ubisoft, it seems to still be working because they're far more content to release it on the Epic Store than on Steam.
Well, I mean, we're thinking about that.
Stop buying Ubi games.
We gotta fucking bring it in every single time. Like, Ubisoft makes their money on consoles. So does EA.
EA
makes all their money off of like FIFA and shit, right?
This is what I'm saying. Like, they give precisely negative fuck about PC gaming. That is like, here, maybe you guys go play around. Anyway, I'm interested. Let us know. Drop a comment. Like, what is your contingency plan for keeping your account around, maybe passing it on? You know, myself, I want to live for at least another, you know, 30 Skyrim special editions.
So what, like 6 more months?
Yeah, possibly. But like,
hey, Billy, bring me my phone. There, you can have the Steam account now.
Well, I mean, even things like that, like my login, like I got my Death Note email, like a lot of people don't have that shit set up. And I got all my login stuff, like, because, like, my Steam account, one of these Yahoos can do whatever, like, family sharing with it, because that's, like, I don't know who else to fucking give it to, right? Like, it would be nice to be able to say something like that, and, like, it's not even in Steam's interest to do that, though, right?
No, they would prefer that the relatives have to go buy another license, right? Like, that gives them another 30%. But again, like, with family sharing and with not, like, it seems like they're willing to play ball at least. So maybe if there's enough public pressure, Valve will be like,
that's the thing. They don't want the bad press. They don't want to be
the bad press.
They don't want to be the bad press is my special
the company
move.
That said, the yeah, Grandpa died.
Onlyfans.com/LinuxGamecast.
Grandpa passed away, and his grandkids can have the 13 or 14 games that he had in his Steam account.
Ben, they don't want to be that. You're throwing company. That down. Grandpa's probably got about 2,700 titles.
do you really? But then there's the weird shit. So you know how people like would after you die, you go through their old albums and shit, you look through their journals,
right?
Doing that with people's save files, like, what did you get up to? Let me judge you based on your Skyrim builds.
The number of games, I can see from, you know, my IRL friends when I add them on Steam, they have 100 games, 200 games. On occasion, there's someone with like 800, 700-ish. Most people don't have 1,000 games.
But Pedro, who are you going to, you know, eventually you'll be a granduncle and pass away.
Possibly.
A grunkle?
A grunkle. Like, what do you do with the games? Like, unless Nori's just like, just waiting, homie.
That's the thing. I already have family sharing set with Nori, so as long as she doesn't wipe her PC.
Do you think like maybe your little brother will show up? No, I'm just imagining his little brother is like taking Nori to court, and he's like, nah, man, I want that family sharing. Those are my games.
Yeah, no, it tears the entire family apart. It's just like, yeah. Nori just like hires a hitman to take out Pedro's brother.
It escalated. Shit got out of hand.
That was my life would be so much more interesting
if that were the game.
It's like, yeah, that was like day two of it. Like, your brother brought up getting a lawyer and she immediately escalates to hitman.
Lady's got a temper, dude. All right, something a little more whimsical to talk about. Womp womp. Tesla is getting rid of Steam. And the Model X and other cars, they've updated their infotainment system, which just doesn't support Steam, which that genuinely kind of sucks. If you have a Tesla and you're like, this is cool, it could play Steam. I don't think anybody ever bought a Tesla. They're like, man, I want a car. What's the selling? It plays Steam. Now, I've messed around with this. See that controller? That's a fucking lie. I spent 30 minutes trying to get a goddamn PlayStation controller to sync with my buddy's Model X. Never fucking happened. But that does suck, because I wanted more Steam and more cars. Like, that's a really cool fucking feature when you're stuck at a charging station. And electric cars are going to be our fucking future. Like, being stuck at a charging station, you want shit like that, right?
When this particular bit of news came out, I was like, oh yeah, I do remember seeing a thing that Tesla now supported Steam because they have an AMD APU type of situation for the infotainment center.
Right.
So it's like, okay, all right, cool. But apparently now they're getting rid of it.
Well, it was a bullshit gimmick thing. Downloading anything from fucking Tesla can take up to 8 hours.
Yeah.
Is there like an Ethernet port you can
Not. Also, there's no fucking storage, so you're not getting Witcher and shit on there, man. Yeah, like Cyberpunk
is like what, a 100 gig game? Yeah, no.
100 and something, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's like a little downside. I mean, I want Steam on like all the fucking vehicles, or like put anything on there, really. Like, because you're like, unless there's a quantum leap in battery technology, like your next car is probably going to be a fucking electric car anyway. Like, you want some, like a bigger screen experience than just like whatever you get on your mobile.
According to the article, you were able to like actually play a Steam game as while driving. That's a little questionable.
Well, I mean, it has more than one seat. Like, if you got fucking kids, dude, and you're like, oh, you need Billy to shut the fuck up? Okay.
Now, if it were a backseat thing, sure, because, like, they have, like, the backseat, like, flip-down TVs in some cars.
Well, I know you don't drive, but adjacent to the driver's seat, there's a passenger seat.
Yes, I'm aware. I spend most of my time in that seat, actually.
See, you're the prime customer right there. Maybe you get in a couple of rounds, you know?
It's just, it can, there's probably a way of scooching the screen so that the driver can't see it, because I can imagine it would be very distracting.
Yeah,
as a pedestrian, as somebody who watches other people in their fucking car fucking around with their mobile phones. Like, grand scheme of things, like, get wrecked.
No, those fuckers need to get their fucking licenses revoked and not be allowed to drive ever again.
Pedestrians just didn't get it. You know, we're evolving more agile. Faster moving pedestrians. Sure. Yeah.
No. How about you fucking exercise some responsibility with your multi-1,000-pound murder machine?
Ugh. Yeah, no, see, there's the people in the great big metal coffin on wheels, and then there's the asshole on a bike without reflectors, without a light, without
how dare clothing. You? Bicyclists and pedestrians are perfect, commit no flaws.
the middle of the road.
I would like some more fucking bike lanes, too. But you know but you know what, we need the Tesla e-bike for that you can like put your VR helmet on and play Cyberpunk
of the Tesla e-bike is going to be the frying pan attachment.
I want the George Foreman upgrade.
Fine, all right, we'll get it.
All right, well, if you do want to cook some eggs, though, you might want to take a look at our latest new game that we're going to be talking about, Arctic Eggs, where you are stuck in the Antarctica. And, well, why do they call it Arctic Eggs if you're in Antarctica? It should be Antarctic Eggs. Anyways, I digress. Your goal is to cook illegal eggs for people. And these eggs are very special. They have like fucking indestructible yolks that like you can just flip them and drop bacon on them and they won't break. It's amazing. Also, apparently you can fry bullets in this game. So fry and cigarettes. Let's go, baby. Yeah, walk around, cook eggs in this dystopian Arctic hellscape. I'm intrigued.
I saw this shit, man. I watched Gassy Mexican. He was doing some indie thing, and I'm like, what? And I just started just casually in the background. I'm like, okay, this is sci-fi cooking, man. Possibly the best sci-fi cooking game we're going to get in 2024. And to be real, this is just old-fashioned, odd-as-hell type game. You're like, what the fuck's going on? It's got dialogue. And yeah, your primary mechanic is frying shit.
I honestly, for a second, thought this was a sequel to Steven Sausage Roll, because this would be perfect as a sequel for that, right?
To give you an idea, if this turned out to be Frog Fractions 3, I'd be like, all right.
Similar to Metro Exodus and Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
I like the graphics. There seems to be a general motif of like cursed PS1 era 3D going on. I like it. I played through Dread Delusion, which is kind of the same 3D-ish style that they were going for. I like it. I don't even care that it's completely unhinged and you're frying bullets and cigarettes. that as a game mechanic, I'm down for that.
Dear listen, game, I'm just going to recommend developers, game developers. Come over here, Uncle Vin. I'm going to talk to you for a minute. Okay. A couple of years ago when I was talking about hipster pixel voxels, I was kidding.
Okay. Nostalgia always marches on.
Now we have jiggly polygons as an aesthetic, and Pedro's like, fucking yes.
I prefer that to the hipster pixels. Yeah,
I'm down with it too. I have a nostalgic recollection of those days. And if Wiggle you can like shaders, have some dude. Modern gameplay shit, then you know it doesn't have to suck ass anymore.
Yeah, and a Dread Delusion, and it actually gives you the option. Do you want the jiggly 3D? Do you want the jiggly textures? If you don't, they're just you know pixely and static. Otherwise, they do that.
I just want my jiggly yolks.
Jiggly yolks. Crossplay, no yolks. Yay, I guess.
Yay. will it work this time? That's what I would like to know.
Answer is no, Jordan. No, because I tried it. I'm like, you know what? We could do a little bit of co-op tonight in the after show. Fuck that noise. Together we stand another update for Hypercharged Unbox. And this starts out with a, hey guys, shit ain't going so good. This is our childhood project and all that. And anyway, if you don't know about, this is Toy Soldiers, but with, how would you describe it? I mean, you know, PvP, right?
Yeah, it's the Green Army Men game, Small Soldiers.
It's the Army Men game, but in the age of Fortnite.
It's so much more than just like when we say Army Men, like the art style to this. I mean, it's well done. I mean, it looks like, you know, a AA game, 100%. You might even say AAA. And a lot of love and work has went into it. It's got a couple of different modes, you know, with like build little fortresses or just straight up deathmatch. And it's not bad. It's not bad. I've never had a problem with it, but. Apparently it didn't have crossplay, so they're going to enable that for all of the Xbox and the modern Xbox and on May 31st. Mm-hmm. And yeah, all I can say is the same week ever since they've sent us review copies. It's got a demo. Try it out. But y'all got to come off that price. You do. I mean, you can't get away with pricing like a AA PvP online only. I'm sure it's got a story, whatever quotations around that. $24.99, that's not a sustainable price for a video game. In 2024, it's not me being cheap. That's just reality. Like, somebody on the team needs to, like, price chart this shit out and, like, look at it and go, well, that might be a problem.
Yeah, $10. and it is clearly a labor of love. And if you had any doubts about that, that little snippet at the top of the article is very enlightening. And they do care, so, and they keep, even though the game isn't doing that great, they keep pushing and they keep introducing mm-hmm. new stuff. They just need to fix the Linux build, please, already.
But, I mean, it can, okay, here's what's wrong with it. Same thing, like 6 or 7 months ago, last time we tried it. In windowed mode, it doesn't correctly capture the mouse. at least on X11. Why is that a big problem? You want people to stream your game? Guess what? Most of us who are doing streaming are streaming the game in windowed mode. Why? Because we got other shit that needs to go on. You know, we're not afforded the luxury of full screen gaming. It's like one of the trade-offs you got to make. Except for you, commenter, who's like, that's how I do it. And I'm like, okay, fine, you do you.
So there's that's because I have a million monitors in front of me. And
right.
And just, yeah.
As somebody with like seven fucking, still doing it in a window, dude. So yeah, you want to make sure it captures that fucking mouse appropriately and it doesn't slip out, which that's still a problem on Linux. Like we would have played it tonight and like fucked around with it, but I'm like, I genuinely can't unless I want to play with a controller. And I don't have an Xbox, so I'm not playing a fucking first-person shooter with a controller. Or it's not a joke stream, you know? Like we did.
Yeah, we did do that Quake one.
We finished Quake with the Steam controller. Yes. Right. I had fun doing that. I thought that was entertaining.
Hmm. That makes one of us.
Someone had to.
That was all right. That's all right. What do we got coming up next? 420 Blaze It, yo.
Neverwinter Nights. Yes, because, you know, I'm a simple person. I like the games that I like, and Neverwinter Nights is still my all-time favorite Linux native game. Even back in the day, before Steam on Linux was a thing.
I genuinely thought they just misspelled there. It was that t-shirt.
take that, grammar Nazis, yeah.
But yeah, it is Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition. They've been... Beamdog basically let the community take over the reins, and the community is going, all right, then let's put a little bit of a showcase on a couple of the big community mods. Or like actual full modules that you can just play through in Neverwinter Nights. Siege of Shadowdale and the Crimson Tides of Tether. Yeah. It is like the two mods are actually full on campaigns that you can just play through. And you can just get the campaigns from the like start a new game mode and click the button. That's it. You don't need to go to the NW Vault. Or go to the Nexus, you just go there, click it, it'll download it, and then you can play it, which is very nice. That is legitimately a very nice feature to just keep people in the game and playing. That's really, really nice.
I just like the fact that you called yourself a simple man. You're like, I like Neverwinter Nights, one of the most complicated editions of D&D ever. I mean it's good that they're adding or they're polishing a bunch of these community mods, because like that was really literally the reason that Neverwinter Nights has survived this long is because the BioWare guys did a good and they shipped the entire level design and game design tools with the game so that people could just make content ad infinitum, and you know we're still fucking here doing it, so that's pretty cool.
Good on them. Now this game has been out bet seems like almost as long as Linux has had a Steam client, right?
2016, so not that long.
Oh,
yeah, no. Well, so the Steam beta for Linux came out.
Is that why they put 2014 on their Steam page just to fuck with us?
Oh, is it 2014?
Maybe
it's one of them.
Reading's hard.
But yeah, no. Steam for Linux started in 2012, so you know, still a significant margin there, but. This is one of the very few games that I've actually 100% all of the achievements. I wasn't even trying to do it. It just kind of happened. Blaze Rush is, they had two updates in very quick succession. On the first update, they said there's going to be, you know, an update to the game that hasn't seen an update since 2016. That's where I got mixed up. And they're releasing an update. They're introducing new versions for, the Quest VR and a few other platforms, but of course Linux, Mac, and Steam VR will soon be getting the boot, and they phrased it as, unfortunately, downloading and running Blaze Rush on Linux, Mac, and Steam VR will soon be impossible. The next day...
Pretty easy to do with all the vagary in this, Pedro. How dare you? Because, like, yeah, anybody can misinterpret this due to technical support. We'll be discontinued via... Yeah, see, like, it's pretty easy to not be able to figure out what they mean by that.
Yeah.
Well,
also
become unavailable implies that the other two platforms are also unavailable.
And the very next day, they had to put out a bit of an announcement to say, okay, in the last bit of news, we said that the version for Mac and Linux systems will become completely unavailable. Mm-hmm. This was incomplete and contained an error.
What was the error? Hang on. What was the error? The part that comes after this. This is the part that might have led to some confusion. Downloading and running Blaze Rush on Linux, Mac will soon be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
That seems completely narrow-free. It seems like you said what you meant to say there, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, but no. Apparently, if you have the game already, you can keep playing on Mac and Linux, the old version. It just won't get the update.
Mm.
And it wouldn't be the first time, historically speaking, that Valve have allowed people to ask for refunds for games that they've gone over the 2 hours that they've bought more than 2 weeks ago for developers who pulled this exact kind of bullshit. And they probably looked at the thing and went, okay, our very cheap game from a long, long time ago, probably not making enough money right now that we can justify the refunds that come from us pulling.
You want to think that. You want to think that. I'll tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened, kids. I mean, you're playing this too. That little game that nobody was buying now surprisingly has over 200 monthly online players.
Yeah, there's still active people playing.
Would have lost that bet. Tell you what happened. It's easy. Go to their fucking page. They saw the announcement, like the six of us who even kept track of a 10-year-old game started leaving negative reviews. And the one thing you want for your game that's barely selling is negative reviews. And they're like, what do we have to do to stop these? Oh, literally do nothing. And just explain that, okay, you can still download it. That's still even fucking negative review. Fuck you guys. But it's a 10-year-old game. I don't care. Most people don't. And they're like, that game's still around. That's your reaction. Except Pedro played a lot of it. He thinks about it when he's not dodge rolling.
I have it installed on my Steam Deck right now. It's been one of those games that I keep around because it's fun to play. It sucks that we're not
in a post-Proton world where it doesn't fucking matter if it supports Linux, unfortunately.
And I mean, like, again, those old Unity Ghetto games, like, generally tend to run better on Proton now than they do natively.
What you meant to say was run.
Yes.
Of course, this isn't the Unity game. This is actually their own custom engine. Targum made their own engine. Yes. We threw chairs at it, too.
So. Yeah, I remember.
I'm sure we did. That was, I don't know, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Probably.
It's been a minute.
I have smoked so many joints in between then and now, Pedro. So
many. Ah, man. Sticking with the green, ladies and gentlemen. NVIDIA 555, this is the chosen one. This is the foretold driver that fixes all of the damn problems, because I saw, I posted it in our Discord. There's a new screen when you go to install it, like right up front. It's like, hey man, do you want to install the GPL kernel modules or do you want to install the proprietary ones? And I was like, option B, burn, bitch. Let's see what happens. Nothing. Worked fine. No problems. And by default, the 555 beta drivers are using the GSP firmware. So if you get that kicking around, it's like, hey, I'm going to use that. And by all accounts, even the artist formerly known as Empty in ShadRealm was like, Fallout 3 works with Wayland now with my NVIDIA card. That has been impossible. Now it works. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Saw a lot of people on Reddit going, it just works. The pitching and stuttering and freezing is working just fine. And, couple other things, but something that's interesting, if you have been using OBS, you're familiar with the NVFPC plugin, which, you know, you had to patch your drivers because it was only available for Quadros. Easy enough to do. That allowed you to basically get cost-free full-screen capture in OBS, utilizing the hardware that's in all of your cards. You just didn't get access to it. That was gone because it moved. It used to be OpenGL. And there was no way, you know, because OBS switched over to EGL. Now, EGL-based NVFPC is possible. To which the guy who made the plugin and hasn't had to touch it in 2 years went, wait, why am I getting messages all of a sudden from people going, hey? And he's like, I haven't added an NVIDIA card in 2 years. Okay, so what do you need to do to make it work again? Which would be kind of neat. That'd be dope. Yeah, no explosions. Running them right now. Been running them since Wednesday, at least. But I do wonder, do you think the GPL modules do any? I didn't check it because I'm on kernel 6.8, which is like old school kernel. But if they still do the check, because I know you've run into it, if you've installed the run files, or people actually, this is why I say learn to install your fucking drivers, kids, from run files. because you'll do like an apt update and you'll have two new a kernel and that'll fall apart and you're fucked because you don't know what to do now. You're at a, you know, command prompt. If you had two new of a kernel, the NVIDIA drivers would go, I can't build modules against that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I should hope that like maybe the hooks are a little bit more stable for at least the GPL side of things. But yeah, having no more NVIDIA cards plugged into Linux machines, I don't know. They did also get rid of the base Mosaic stuff, which I guess no one was really using. It was limited to like 5 monitors and no one really gave a shit. So they're just like, they turfed it.
Like whatever.
Oh, they allowed up to 5 monitors? Wow.
Yeah, I
remember it was 4.
That was like back in the 700 series, even my 2060. Yeah. I was like, let me load this bitch up. Oh, where's my VR port? You mean my monitor bonus port? Yep. All right.
it was okay. So it was previously only available on select GPU boards with some motherboards limited to 5 display devices. So yeah, no, like you had to have the right card, you had to have the right motherboard, and then you could do it with up to 5 display. And apparently, no one was taking up on that.
Let you have it.
Now, we talked about this in the pre super shows, and go back and listen to that. Hours and hours of content if you're a patron. The wild world of being able to just plug in an NVIDIA card, it's going to work. Because our next story means that you might not even have to install drivers at all.
Oh, it's very much coming, because, yes, there seems to be a lot of Calabra stories lately cropping up, but this one's good. Mesa 24.1 brings new hardware support for the Panfrost ARM SoC GPUs, which finally the people with the ROC chips and a few others that have Panfrost GPUs in them finally get some proper proper support. And Zynq. There's been an update to Zynq, as in the implementation of Zynq over NVK is now fully OpenGL 4.6 compliant, which is insane considering how not that long ago NVK became a thing. And of NVK.
It's also the second driver that is fully OpenGL compliant through Zynq as well, because there's the Imagination GPUs as well.
Yes. And the NVK. Driver proper, just the NVIDIA Vulkan driver, the open source one, is now a part of Mesa. You don't need to pass any launch codes while you're building it yourself. It will be available. It's not considered experimental anymore, but that doesn't mean that it's one-to-one.
Fuck that, dude. I remember before this driver sold out, when it was underground, man. Mainstream. Yeah, you don't get any cool creds anymore for running it.
There now, and you probably can't, as long this is NVK, so you need to have an RTX 2000 or GTX 1600 series card, or
you need to have an NVIDIA card made in the last decade,
the last 5 years. Yes,
but with the 20 series was 5 years ago. All of a sudden, okay, your time dilation's a bit off, I think.
A little bit, probably. what was the 2000 series?
Oh, hang on, hang on. Nobody cheat. 20, nobody cheat.
80.
Ooh. I want to say 2018?
2018 is correct.
Yes.
So yeah, 6 years ago. I was one off. Come on. Fuck you.
I'm just happy I managed to like accurately assess a gap of time, because I'm terrible at that. But yeah. The people on Reddit have been trying out the Zynq stuff. The performance isn't there yet, but like, I mean, come on. The driver's like 2 years old. This is again they're just starting to work on it. Like the fact that it is like lapping Old Nouveau like by a country mile.
I mean,
is already pretty impressive.
That's like having a diseased dog with one leg. And
hey, listen, they didn't have no fancy GSP firmware back in the day. They had electron microscope.
Yeah, that seems to be like the big complaint. How much gaming are you seriously doing on like a pre-2000 series NVIDIA card? Like
the 1080 Ti, as Jordan will attest, was a very popular GPU. NVIDIA made a mistake by making it as good as it was.
It was designed to compete with the card that AMD never released. And so it just beat the shit out of everything for years.
Like, even the 1070 and the 1070 Ti and the regular 1080 non-Ti, those were genuinely really good cards. And the biggest, at least on Linux, the biggest shortcoming that they have is the lack of a unified GSP firmware. So,
and DX12 support.
Yeah, the DX12 support that the newer cards enjoy because the firmware is laid out as it is cannot be backported to Pascal and previous cards.
You heard,
is it like the Evangelion, no, like you can in
collaborate, you heard it. Pedro just threw down. Pedro believes you're in the pocket of Big Green.
That's the thing. I very much hope that with Calabro's work, and seriously, nothing but mad respect to everyone.
Listen,
involved.
I believe Calabro's just looked at it and like, we got better shit to do than support your retro GPUs, homie.
The 1060 was until it's not an old too long card, ago. Dude,
it 10, 20, 30, it's three fucking generations old, man. It's a retro gaming card. Yeah, I'm not saying it was a not bad. It was a great fucking card, but three generations old GPU. Like, cut them some
and
slack.
It's still Vulcan 1.3 compliant if you're using the proprietary drivers.
Honestly, the kid has my old 1080 Ti, yeah, and it plays most of his fucking shit. Exactly. Like that's basically what it boils
down to. And it's going to continue playing all your shit. And like, in worst case scenario, you keep a period correct NVIDIA driver and operating system for your vintage gaming machine.
The problem is the VKD3D performance. That was my complaint.
That was my complaint. I tried to fucking play Cyberpunk on that shit. That was not happening. I do want to cycle back to that.
570 does better in DirectX 12 on Linux than a GTX 1080. That's bad.
No bueno. I do want to cycle back a bit to the Panfrost stuff though, because I'm really excited. Just because we basically just have like boot left. We just need to get fucking rock chip booting on a stock kernel. And then all of these beautiful little devices that are sitting collecting
the high
dust
powered
running
ARM devices.
Yeah.
That were like crazy awesome right up until like you could get a quad core 8 thread Ryzen 2400G for $100. Yeah.
I mean, it's still pretty good though.
Oh no,
A-core AH64 2.5 gigahertz next.
Have you ever used it for anything?
I have, yeah. I was using it for raid rebuilds for a while. Yeah.
And I'm not shitting on ARM. ARM's powering our Jitsi server back here in the rack. So it's really cool to see
some real horsepower for this guy. That's not like W10.
This is like the debate I've been like, one of the arguments I'm going to be making, interfacinglinux.com, I'm going to be making in a write-up in a, like, the market for, like, high-powered, beefy, chonky ARM is going to be hurting in the short term with now that you can get high-powered ARM, not ARM, but x86 1-liter PCs for the same price. Like, that throws a fucking wrench into anybody looking to build something in that area, like Jitsi server. Like, do you really want to spend like 2 weeks fucking around with that, or you just want to install it, get done with it? We'll find out. Awesome work, and I hope they get that full stack for the rock chips, because the rock chips saved us all when Raspberry Pi told us all to go, you know, fuck ourselves. Yeah, you're like, you're not an enterprise customer, you don't get chips. And like, Raspberry Pis were like $200 if you could find one. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Good work, everybody at Calabra, making this happen. And we're going to genuinely be at a place where you can just plug your NVIDIA card in. How's it going to work? You don't have to worry about it.
I'm genuinely curious how it's going to work with Optimus laptops. I do have one of them, so I'm kind of, you know, I want to try it, but at the same time, how's that going to work?
I wonder if like the Prime stuff is all just handled like in firmware. Like, you just set the environment variable in the
thing. That would probably be the best way to do it. Or if they do, like, they already do with the proprietary drivers, where you just, if you have to, you point to a specific ICD file and it says, no, you use this driver for this.
Yeah. I mean, they never, like, threw down hard on, they didn't say we'd never support older cards, did they?
No, they said their priority was getting like current gen working, and then they were going to look at backporting it once they have a stable thing.
So Pascal was one that they specifically mentioned as maybe they could get it working if they could.
Right. I hope they do. I really do.
Yes.
I think it'll be dope as fuck, man. What do we get up next? Oh, man. Okay. All right.
Blocks.
Hey, man.
Blocks.
Dude. I don't think you'll be able to. Wait, you know what? Actually, you might. You might be able to run this on your Jetson Nano.
I might. Yeah. Because as long as you have an NVIDIA GPU, yeah, it's Netrus. It is game streaming for yourself if you have an NVIDIA GPU. It's basically a self-hosted GeForce Now. Works in your browser, uses Proton GE to actually run the game, then streams it to a browser. This release pulls out some stops by including Xwayland support with the NVIDIA 555 releases. They have Mango HUD and GameScope by default on the server as well, so you can get those stats while you are playing the game through your browser. And yeah, it's NVIDIA GPUs only. They had a release that came out last week, which is not 1.0, that you can run yourself if you have the appropriate computer.
Not 1.0. I really feel like we could do a Who's on First joke with this.
Yeah. I don't know who's on third. But yeah, they also have a hosted version. If you want to give them money, you can do that and play games on their computer.
Oh, yeah, you do need CUDA version 12 nut. Yeah,
yeah. It uses the NVIDIA Docker framework, so you need to have that installed.
Ew.
that. To be fair, as Surface deployment goes, if you're just deploying this to a server that's running maybe a Quadro that doesn't even have video out, probably a good idea. But it's version 0.10. That's how early we're talking here. That's how far into the bleeding edge you're putting yourself in. So
hey, they have a minor version number. That it's not just 0.01001100111
like 00001.
They've tossed some things in, man. That's got Pulse Audio Capture support, GPU screen the Xwayland support. Yeah. The only poo-poo thing, I'm like, Docker image. I'm like, bah.
I mean, if you want to give someone a thing to roll out the server, it's probably the best way to go about it.
Then you got people like me. He's like, step one, install Docker. I'm like, I'm good.
All right. I mean,
yeah.
Have irrational fears of C groups.
No, I just don't want to install Docker. I don't fear it.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope that upsets somebody.
Irrational. All right. But yeah, it's if you do have a spare computer and you want to do some game streaming, the one big thing I can think of for this is, I think the chief problem of remote play is that from Steam is that you have one person with really, really good latency and everyone else with shit latency. This levels the playing field. If you want to have a couch multiplayer game and you want to play it over the internet, you run it on here. Everyone connects over the browser, and then everyone has the same input delay, assuming they're not in the UK.
So ultimately, yeah. The moral of that story is going to be, man, I mean, it's pretty cool. I like it. Like you said, it's using Proton GE, and you know it's a good project when it looks like three YouTube fucking logos gangbanging, like right at the front page. That's usually a good sign. And hey, man, it's using the VMAF from NVIDIA, which is like their stream optimization for the bandwidth data bits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty dope. Also, let me deploy it in Podman, please.
That would be nice. I don't think the NVIDIA container runtime runs in Podman, though, which is the only...
It to run. I'm just not installing Docker.
That's fine. Yeah. I recommend using Podman.
Podcast.
Yes, Matrix.
Podcast.
The Matrix
awoke. Mr. Anderson.
Yeah. A few years ago, the Matrix awoke to a epic Unreal 5 tech demo that they did. And, well... In the interest of preservation, because that's been in the news recently, someone basically went in and removed all of the bits that were actually under copyright, like the characters and everything else. But as it turns out, the city did not fall under copyright, so they've released the demo where you can load up the Unreal 5 city that they used for the experience, as they called it. And yeah, you could just play it. Maybe. I, on the other hand, could not. Basically, it got to the point where if I tried to launch the native Linux version, I didn't try either of the Windows versions. I probably will. But yeah, with the native Linux version, Xwayland doesn't like it to the point that it crashes and it brings the KDE Plasma session down along with it. So I get to see the loading screen. That's it.
I mean, you got to be honest, though. I mean, sometimes things fuck up hard enough to where you're a little impressed, right?
That is genuinely impressive. Good job.
I mean, it's kind of wild. I downloaded it earlier this week. 16 gigajoules to download this bad boy. And all it does on my 3060 Threadripper system, running X11, not any of that new fancy Wayland stuff, is it fucks off for 60 seconds and gives me an error screen.
I guess I'm just like the pro here. I downloaded
and now a word it. From the one motherfucker who managed to
One with the current gen graphics card. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And crippling attention deficit disorder, because it took me 3 attempts to actually launch this fucking thing because it's 17 fucking gigs. So it takes a while to download and extract. But yes, I did get into it. I thought it was going to be like a regular benchmark, but it is an interactive demo. And while the still screens look incredibly photorealistic, oh God, that thing runs like ass on my 7800 XT. Dear Lord.
Is this UE5?
I believe this is UE5.
Ah.
And there's no, I didn't play around with it too much because I like did it 5 minutes before we went into the pre-super shows.
Right.
But I couldn't find any way to like adjust resolution or performance. It's just kind of like, whatever your full screen is, let's fucking go. Let's do it.
That's always the worst, man. It's cool that it works. I know a lot of chatter in our Discord was just run it through Wine. It runs better with Proton.
Yes.
Which unfortunately is
a general.
Yeah. I mean,
if we've definitely run into smash that export button, and I know I've said it, like, you can make Unreal Engine 4, at least that's what I was addressing back in the day, perform it under Linux, but it's not that out of the box. But we've seen good examples on UE4 games running natively on Linux without any like serious performance hits. Those are the exception, though. And then you get things like this. If you do a direct port, you end up with more often than not what we got Jordan in the slideshow.
UE graphics on Linux has always been a bit of a pain point, I think. I don't think there's ever been like a straight one-to-one. Like I think Unity was the closest anyone ever got to like the actual just click export and it like will run acceptably well. Unreal Engine 4 and now I guess 5 never really got there.
All right, let's talk about we're all getting dumber and we need more
yes, that's exactly what this Quantic Foundry survey said. So they were saying that strategy is declining in popularity as a genre of appeal, not necessarily a genre of game, but like types of characteristics of games that they would associate with strategy games are becoming less and less appealing. They have this survey. All three of us took it. I guess we're going to go over the results after we all talk about our shtick. But saying that basically people are not super engaging with strategic elements of games. Now, what they define it as is strategy is defined as the appeal of long-term thinking, planning, and careful decision-making. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with this. I think there are like more strategic elements baked into games, but they are peppered with more immediate mechanics, like action RPGs, for example. You pick your strategy is how the weapon you pick, the special moves that you use, the armor that you use, a particular playstyle, a particular build, whatever. That is still a strategy. Baldur's Gate 3, huge hit, arguably a strategy, at least in part a strategy game, because you're making tactical decisions on a battlefield, and you're also managing relationships on multiple levels, which requires some deal of strategic fuckery. Going further, like Auto Chess was huge for a while. That's a strategy game. You pick a game plan based on your pieces. But I think like overall, I would agree with the sentiment that like pure strategy games would become less popular in general, just because life becomes more stressful and the brain power that you're devoting to coming up with your winning strat probably is better dedicated to making sure that you make your rent and can afford food. So I don't know. I think strategy is changing in the same way that like RPGs are changing, where you had Final Fantasy once as like a turn-based thing. Now it's basically Devil May Cry. And I think we're going to start seeing like more genre mashup and homogenization. And I think that is what this survey is reflecting.
That's a pretty bold take.
Here's the thing. continuing on from what Jordan was saying, is like, yes, you have other things to worry about, so you don't devote as much brain power to strategy. And then you have kids and you don't pass on the strategy games to the kids because you can't be asked. So you only show them the ones that you're actively enjoying playing. So those kids don't get exposed to it. So they never play it. So it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy after that point. I get it. I absolutely get it because, and you see, if you know anyone with kids, the attention span of a goldfish is very much a thing. And I took the survey. I too have problems with how they define. Yeah, that's my graph there. 48% action, 68% creativity, only 11% immersion,
25% mastery.
Yes. They are very, they have some interesting definitions for the categories because the immersion components, they shoehorn the plot and NPC stories and everything else that's already baked into the game rather than the narrative that you yourself build as a player while you're playing the game. I think this nails it, dude.
I mean, I'm looking at the secondary motivations. You want an exciting fantasy game that's a collectathon. That's kind of hard.
Yeah, no, there's a reason those are the secondary motivations, because the primary motivations I thought were actually pretty accurate with how they define each of the things. It's like, yes, if that's how you're going to define immersion, sure.
I mean, that basically defines the entirety of the Fallout series.
I have played the entirety of the
Fallout series. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not that far off, man.
I've played the entirety of the Souls series. Demon Souls, Dark Souls, Elden Ring. Not Bloodborne yet. but
that's a personal choice.
So. No, people need to go ahead and put their fucking bets on what Pedro is going to come up with next once it's on PC. There will be a reason.
It's an Epic Store exclusive.
Something.
I mean, if it is an Epic Store exclusive, then they go fuck themselves.
All right, let's take a look at Jordan's happy central blob of like, yeah, whatever.
I didn't like really go to the extreme answers on any of the survey questions because like I'm not that neither kind of like, yeah. So I'm pretty balanced in terms of like stuff I like. Not so much, I guess, on the mastery side.
Yeah, that would be like the you know what? Can't be asked.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like I feel that. And let's take a look at the secondary. What's Jordan's a fantasy? Just fantasy, and he's good. He'll fuck off and play it.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Fantasy destruction community strategy.
Fantasy strategy. With like maybe a side order of fucking discovery. And if I happen to step on completion challenger excitement, yeah, shit happens.
Yeah. I'm very picky about what I like, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm otherwise pretty easy to please. What about you, Ben?
Let me see. Action. Yeah, give me an action game where we can like chat, and it takes a little bit of skill to get good at. Yeah, I pretty much aimed at that. What am I on secondary? So yeah, give me a game where I can fuck around, look for shit. It's really exciting. Has a competition and is a little bit challenging. Yeah. And it's not a collective thon, and I can give or take.
Yeah, I guess from that regard, I'm not a fan of like super simulationist games. I'm generally good about narrative and yeah, just like being in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not looking for like escapism when I play a video game. It's a fucking video game for me, all right? And like, if that's your game, like I need something to separate me, like you do you. For me, a video game is a video game, you know? And like, I want to sit down and fuck around. I like something like Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, give me a game, give me a story, put a fucking skip button at it. Let me go explore. Put some shit in there if I want to go collecting. Like, I very open worldy, but I give me a finish goal at the end, right? Give me some combat too. See, it needs the combat. It can't just be like, you know, Minecraft or some shit.
I can see myself with the collectathons because I will go out of my way to find everything of any one thing if there is a direct correlation between the things that I'm finding and my perception. of
if,
power.
If there is a big enough carrot at the end of that stick, mm-hmm. then yeah, I'll do the collectathon. If it's like, oh yeah, and you get the plus 5,000 weapon that just like fucking curb stomp shit. I guess I'm collecting acorns. You get
the gun that one shots everything. It's like, yeah, no, I'll probably go out of my way to get that gun, please. Thank you.
I got to know about that fucking reward. And yes, I will go on that forever. I did that with the new old Nier mm-hmm. to get a second ending. Then I got to the like third one and was like, no, you need to buy a weapon from every fucking. I'm like,
yes, you need to have all of the weapons.
Fuck that. I'm out. That's cool. Like, it depends on what type of game you like. That's an interesting like read. One thing I was a little worried about, man, because they brought up like the duration in movie shots. Like, you know, when you make scene to scene to scene, like jumping around that they had numbers for that. It used to be like in the 1930s, it was like 16 seconds to hold a frame. Mm-hmm. And maybe you get like a profile shot or like, you know, a camera angle change. It's 4 seconds up to 2010 now, which I know it's drastically lower than that because when I'm doing a video, my internal beat, just for me, like when I'm editing in DaVinci Resolve, is like fucking 5 seconds, unless it's a static overhead shot. Like I'm just working through something. Anything outside of that, like I want something moving. There needs to be motion on that fucking screen like every 3 to 5 seconds. I feel like that is the cadence that is required because squirrel. Which is kind of strange, man. Do you think strategy games as a whole, like how many like strategy games have like come out that are popular? Chicken and Chainsaw?
It's always been a little bit of a niche by itself.
We're talking about like pure strategy games. So we're talking like a StarCraft, Command and Conquer, that chess. Kind of thing. Chess.
Then you have like real-time strategy versus turn-based strategy.
Strategy it's always over been a niche mail.
With so many sub niches that it. Where do you and how do you and quantify
there, it? There are things you need to deep dive into too, because part of like strategic gameplay is actually understanding the system and the mechanisms mm-hmm. to the point where you can make complex and fine grained decisions about these.
This is why XCOM Enemy Unknown and XCOM 2 were great, because they were really simple to understand.
And I will sit here and fucking defend that Dark Souls is. Borderline turn-based strategy. The slow fucking game, man. Come on.
The first one, maybe. But like the latter games, like Dark Souls 3, Elden Ring, no.
Slightly it's less. It's
way
slow.
Too fast-paced for that.
Oh yeah, it's like lightning, man. Like jumping around.
Elden Ring. There's a lot of jumping in Elden Ring. Like motherfuckers are jumping like the entire
jump button in Elden Ring.
No. Like the entire like land of Liurnia is one giant trampoline. After watching a Let's Play, I have made that determination.
From the outside perspective, watching people do like a fucking 20-minute long video over like how Dark Souls 3 ruined the goddamn franchise is fucking hilarious. You nerds, keep it up. All right. Awesome.
My favorite Dark Souls is still Dark Souls 2.
That's slow paced.
Dark Souls 3 was too fast, bro. It wasn't Dark Souls.
Yeah, the Dark Souls 3 was trying to bring the appeal that Bloodborne introduced.
Trying to make the game fucking playable for like a modern audience. Like people who didn't like turn-based strategy.
Yeah, you know that Baldur's Gate sold like shit. Absolutely.
Hey,
yeah,
man, yeah. We're not talking about action RPGs, all right?
Oh, yeah. No, you mean Doom?
Yes. As we've established, Doom was an action RPG.
No, that's the city sim.
No, that's Wolfenstein.
Oh, right. All right. Fair enough. Up next, pour one out. I wanted to give this a quick mention before we get out of here. IGN, much beloved network company that's been around. Yeah, they exist. Don't pretend you don't know about them, because they'll be like, oh, I've never heard of IGN. Like, get the fuck out of here. They've bought the Gamers Network sites. Layoffs are in progress. So what Gamers Network sites? What's that? That sounds fucking familiar. It should. We're talking, they are the umbrella corporation of Eurogamer, GameIndustry.biz, Rock Paper Shotgun, VG247, and Dicebreaker. That was the wholly owned entities. They also got, they have like interest, which they didn't buy. Because they couldn't sell it, because they only had like small stakes and shit like Nintendo Life and other things like Outside Digital Foundry,
Xbox, Digital Foundry,
Hookshot, and That's wild, man. Yeah, I'm with Pedro, dude. It's like rock, paper, shotgun. No, I remember when you were the edgy little...
Yeah. I love Rock, Paper, Shotgun. Yeah, that was like, you know, the mainstream site that wasn't Kotaku or Polygon or PC Gamer. That was fun. They were genuinely fun.
Now I feel old, you calling like Rock, Paper, Shotgun like mainstream. I was like, I remember when dude started it.
I mean, it was back when there was still a PC Gamer magazine. Oh,
I
know. Right?
I mean, it is now, but it's like, I'm like, all right, I'll get off my lap.
I'm a little sad. I would occasionally check Dice Breaker for like tabletop news, but like, yeah, you know, rip in peace to all the folks who are about to or are currently being laid off. Sorry, yeah. Duders.
Like the dude who was effectively GameIndustry.biz, which I follow on Mastodon. Good on them for having a Mastodon account, because I like read over, like they're on top of shit with like industry news, mm-hmm. which is more interesting to me than like whatever, you know, baby
the drama,
mama right. drama shit going on. And there's not many people out there doing it, man. You bring up what I think about, like, what is, because, like, you know, you got to think about, like, traditional games journalism, like print, website shit, that industry's gone.
No.
It's dead.
No.
It ain't coming back as much as we'd want it. You do have people trying new shit. You know, you got Jeff Gertzman. He's doing his own thing now. He's got his own Twitch stream that he does a couple of times a week. Then you got, like, the kids over at Kinda Funny Games. They're trying to keep...
Even stuff like 404 Media, right? Like
mm-hmm. they're trying. Like you got to mix things up. I mean, like it's not written anymore. They're doing live streams. Like that's where the
support indie podcasts and sites. Patreon.com/LinuxGamecast. Show.
Where do you go? Like for gaming news, like I will genuinely just like pull up a. Usually, like Jeff, if he's doing, I'll check Twitch. Like I just like I need background noise, like, and I'll put it on like or. Like you might listen to something from Second Wind.
Mm-hmm. Second Wind, they do like the bite-sized reviews. I will always listen to those. Mm-hmm. Fully Ramblematic Yahtzee because I'm massive Yahtzee fanboy. I am. Yeah, no, it was Rock Paper Shotgun and PC Games N, I guess. As long as there are
links to all of that stuff in our show notes occasionally. I guess not so much from the sites we mentioned before.
How
but,
long have you been reading Rock Paper Shotgun? You know the right answer.
Basically ever since Steam started featuring their articles.
How many people know the date that I'm talking about? That is part of the slogan.
The one that they called Molyneux a...
We're looking for a number here, but we're hearing about Molyneux. Let me know when you're done with that. The number.
No, that's the big thing that I remember about Rock Paper Shotgun is one of their
2007? That's the only number.
It's part of the fucking logo, people. It's been like that for 20 years, 1873. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not that big a diehard Rock Paper Shotgun.
Oh, me either. It's just I always thought that was fucking like, I was like, I like that. That's funny.
No, the one of their interviewers went up to do an interview with Peter Molyneux, and the first question he asked was, are you a pathological liar?
And he looked at him and he's like, I'm in the games industry. Duh.
Love it.
Yes, and let me tell you negative things about the next project that I need money for.
Let me just walk up and ask you a super hostile question. That's going to make this conversation go swimmingly.
Yes, but that's how you become the hero of Edgelords everywhere.
Yes,
yeah. Or at least the hero of Pedro.
Absolutely
everywhere.
Love that shit. It sucked for I think it was Laura Kate Dale that went after to an interview for a different.
See,
website.
That's not what you want for like interviewing somebody. You don't want like the phrase "went after."
And she's the one who basically had to deal with a very, very on edge Peter Molyneux, and she was trying just like okay. I'm not going to ask you that question. I heard of that, and I'm not going to ask you that question. So.
Like, yeah. So Dean Ozzle put you on edge, and like, I'm just here trying to get some shit, like, maybe trick you into saying some shit. But
yeah. Just be like, follow it up with, it's my turn. It's like, are you an app pathological truth teller? Exact opposite question.
Dun, dun, dun. If you got questions for us, you can head over to linuxgamecast.com and hit the contact button, fill that out, and we get an email. And we're like, and look it over. If it's pretty dope, you got something you need to say, or maybe you got a question that needs the answering, we might talk about it on this very show. Of course, drop both of those in the comment section under the video, video description, wherever you may be. We might check that. And those end up in a, you know, Patreon post priority. Why? Because you're our bosses. Oh, yeah. You're making it happen. And we got one that I wanted to throw in. I didn't get a chance. This is about 2 weeks old. Be patient, because sometimes I wait for something to be a little more topical, or we got some other things that we're working through. We had a very long discussion to the point where, like, Jordan and I were like, we're going to get disappeared. We've stumbled across something that we shouldn't pay attention to this. And it was so many random games on Steam that were just like asset fucking flips, but had enough work put into them that were like $200 games.
Yes.
Right?
That, yeah, and we were theorizing why come so expensive? What is the scam here? And Cody writes in with bundles, and they say overpriced asset flip games on Steam exist so websites can sell mystery bundles that include games worth $200 for $5. Nothing but shit, overpriced garbage.
Yes, I think that we already had that. Yeah, that
We got a couple weeks of feedback for that from that segment, because we were talking about that for a
few weeks. Yeah, pretty much around that time, people said it's like, yeah, no, for to like spice up bundles. And I offered the one that I seen, which is account reselling. Like, yeah, this account has however many hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of games in it. That's how they inflate the price.
Yeah, my theory was just money laundering. It's like, oh, yeah, it's $3,000
money,
game.
Money laundering is like way too obvious. Plays into it, yes. I was reading this as like, I don't buy bundles of games. Where do you buy bundles of games? Like Green Man Gaming or some shit like that?
Humble?
Not Humble. We're talking about the gray market compilations of keys that they bundle up.
Like, mystery bundles. GTA type shit. Indie Royale.
Fanatical.
Fanatical, yeah.
Because, I mean, we've all seen the fucking ads of, like, three, and, you know, with Humble, when they say, hey, it's about, you know, it's cop math, even at Humble, though, man. They're like, $700 worth of games for name your price. As long as that price starts with $20, because that's as low as you can go, fucko. Yeah. But we've definitely seen, like, you know, thousands of dollars worth of games for, like, $10 or some shit like that. I've never fucking bought that, but I guess people buy into that. But I would never, this would require it to be a mystery bundle, like some gambling element to it. That's why GTA popped into my mind, because I'm sure if we go, let's go to GTA. How do you, what's, is it just G2A?
G2A.com. I think
it's just G2A.com, yeah.
G2A.com, here we come,
baby. Maybe you should try binging it.
Oh, right. Apparently I can log in when there's Google account.
Notifications!
Bestsellers, random keys, what would...
Strider posted a mystery mayhem bundle from Fanatical.
All right, hang on. We're at G2A right now. Hellblade. Isn't that more than that's more than it's on Steam? What the fuck? All right,
Xbox Live key. That's Xbox. Oh,
all right.
Yeah, that's Xbox pricing.
Random keys, but it tells you what game. Wait, hang on. Three random.
Random VIP keys. There you go.
Five random keys for $1. Oh, and it's got $43 value down here. Look.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then yeah, that's probably it. It's like, oh yeah, yeah.
That's the example that Cody gave. It's the
VIP. We're just trying to show it off in real time.
Yeah, no, it was the leftmost one. It was the VIP one. Was the $200 for $5.
The left? Where?
Yeah, bestsellers. Five random keys, VIP.
Here.
The leftmost one.
This one.
The $5.17 one.
$5.17.
The one that's $184
of total value.
I was looking for $200. Sorry. There it is. So, yeah, who would... No.
The people who buy games from G2A. That's who.
Do people, like, buy games from fucking G2A? So, like, oh, God. Get it off.
That guy is going to eat my face. That's some Tony Robbins level teeth.
Get five games for $4.99. Legend. Oh, mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my most charitable version of the situation,
all right.
Someone is sitting and they're like, I want to play a game, but I don't know what. I want to be provided with five options. that are pre-selected for me at random, and I will choose which one to play.
I think these are just people that got like hardcore gambling addictions. They don't. Listen,
like I said, most charitable version of the situation I can think of.
They like they're just so burnt that they can't even just buy a game anymore. They don't get a hit from it. They're like, all right, maybe the next bundle.
No, but they buy a bag of Skittles and they're like, okay, it's got to be 4 red Skittles in this one. I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
You have to imagine, like, if you ever wanted to, like, perpetrate that, every 900 or 500 orders, you got to put a fucking copy of Cyberpunk in that bitch.
Right? Just so that the one guy...
So that one person... Because you know if you spent $5 on a bundle and you get a legit copy of fuck, you're going to go to Reddit and tell every fucking buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, who's laughing now after you've spent like $600 buying these?
Evil mode, include one of those Star Citizen ships that costs like $10,000.
Ah, yes. The NFT game before they were called NFTs.
Don't hate, man.
We can go deeper.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap us up. But hey, if you like what we do, I want to thank Frizera. Frizera. 3 month resub. And if you want to do that, drop us a sub on Twitch. Spend those Bezos bucks. We'd appreciate it. Link it up to our Discord. Come wrap with us the other 6 days of the week. If you want, head over to linuxgamecast.com. Smash that support button. We got Patreon. We got Libra Pay. We even got cryptocurrency, baby. But if that's not your thing, head over to Amazon. Pick us up something from our wish list. Why? Not only will we get the warm and fuzzies, you get to send in a note that we got to read on this very show. I even put your name back here on the fucking wall. Occasionally. We get a merch store, Amazon storefront, and of course, Humble Bundle affiliates. We get a little
for those cut. Legit bundles.
We get some pennies. They yeah. peel off a couple of cents.
For now.
No gambling IGN for too. You. LGC doesn't enable gambling unless you're outside the casino, and they will just throw chips at you.
That's right. That's how we do it. Hashtag LGC cares. Did you ever do any, like, I've been to Vegas a couple of times, like mostly for work, but like I've been to Vegas just to, like, fuck around on this trip. And like, I probably my full spin of my entire life in Vegas. So let's say I've been 4 times, maybe $100 total.
I did not do any gambling while I was at Vegas. I was really like hoping to see like one of the shows, but like they didn't have anything good when I was,
I saw Penn and Teller.
That's the one you want to go see, right? Yeah. Like, and they're like Thursday, Friday only.
Okay, now I take that back. I wanted to see Carrot Top. I needed to experience that, but it didn't work out date wise.
I am still mad that I did not get to go to Guy Fieri's restaurant because I wanted to put a Guy Fieri monstrosity in my body, and I was denied the opportunity.
Did you ever? Because even at the airport, they got slot machines.
They do, yeah. They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Convenience stores, yeah. And went into. I guess they're not called Max Milks. I get 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Snakes.
I don't even think they're called Max Milks in Canada anymore. I think 7-Eleven just bought them out.
All right. Pedro, did they ever have casinos in Porto?
Yeah. They're very, very regulated. Unlike here, where you walk 3 steps into Cambridge. And it's like gambling shop.
That's not gambling. Listen, they give you tickets, Pedro. It's not money.
There's like a betting counter for like horse races and whatnot. Then there's another gambling shop immediately next to it. It's like, okay.
I was going to ask, is there like a European Vegas? But I guess it would be like Monte Carlo or something like that. Or
I think that's less Vegas and more.
Everybody in the UK dreams about vacationing in Vegas.
There specifically for that. Yes.
They're like, it's like the life thing of like, at some point we need to take a holiday and go to Vegas.
It's like those dudes who like have an overwhelming urge to go to Japan and get like really sad until they go to Japan.
Sure.
And then they come back and they're like, it wasn't that great.
What is the Riviera?
The Mayan Riviera?
The French Riviera? Like something like that? I don't know. Where did they go in the...
Monaco?
Monaco. Thank you. Gambling.
Yeah.
not for us poorest. That's where the riches go.
Also, is that going to get us in trouble from being into recording?
What? No.
the Steam key. No,
I'm good. Okay. Like, somebody's going to yoink that. Like, I have a billion of Grip Combat Racing keys. Like, I'm not even joking. I do. I bought a gang of them. All right. Speaking of gangs of them, we're going to gang of them right out. See, perfect segue, ladies and gentlemen. Smooth as butter.
I thought you were going to throw some gang signs, and I was going to be.
Listen, you just. Where's my song, dude? You don't like my Gangnam style. I get it. Ladies and gentlemen, on that bombshell, you can always catch us right here on Twitch, 8:30 Eastern. Shut the fuck up. Standard Moon Time. Come check us out, twitch.tv/LinuxGamecast. Hang out and chat. If you're a patron, hop in an hour beforehand. Check out the pre super shows. And where we had an impromptu version of that on Thursday in our Discord because Cornflakes showed up and we had to settle some shit. Find me on Twitter, on X at Vinstone. And I'm on Interfacing Linux if you want the forums there, and mass.linuxgamecast.com. I'm just at Vin.
I'm Jordan. I'm representing the east side. Is that the right side? I'm so very white. I don't know what the hell doing. Yeah, follow me on Mastodon at Frojo at mass.linuxgamecast.com, Frojo at bsky.app, or at the Burning Fool on Twitter. Ah.
Hey, sexy human. I don't know. Now I have Gangnam Style in my head, and I blame Ven. You can find me at unaccounted for at linuxgamecast.com. That's mass.linuxgamecast.com. There's a little bit of a subdomain missing there. That's the social network that I'm in.
Following you can't wait, man. Netflix has optioned our social network movie. It's going to be dope.
It's the Google Plus movie. It's just 90 minutes of people crying because Google Plus shut down.
Time for some credits. Facts.
Yeah. That's what I am, a sex burrito. Fill me with your beans, your sexy beans. All you advisors, Omegas, Artheran, our executive producers too, Bob Ramp, Scott, Atomic, Mike, Tomaz, Dave, Eshep, Ian, Kurducky, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Aplo, and Drummer, and, you know, Run a Train on Me, Super Death Stone, MD, Glorious Echo, and Turbo Tree Slot. I don't know anymore,
and the
Zoom
Monsters, and the mild seizure there. Renoro, Riderx, Makina, Troji, Veritanu, the Justin, Darkwing, SysMP, that Zingjo, the Kresny, Ogiwon, Frostclaw, the Death Notes, Nova, Chat, Romeo, Rene, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom 2.Wide, Stephen B, Beck, Dodger, Zeno, Rue, Turnover, I missed.
Breathe, damn you. Breathe. All of our fine, upstanding cannibals. Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, New Aldeus, Noctilus, John E. Shep, Gavitron, you know, a DSN, Joe, Aromatic, Devin, of course, Kai, Joe, right. Thank you. You're all fine, upstanding cannibals. Ladies and gentlemen, until next week, get out there and cover yourself in coconut eliteness. We'll be watching Scratch and Sniff Edition next week. Tune in live.
You've been entirely too scrumptious.
You've been nutted.
You put the cocoa in the nuts, baby. Down to fire, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Five dudes.